But man heard not the voice of the Lord. 4. By man's indulgence, the spirit of man was covered up in his own flesh. 6. So, mankind, and all entities in the creation, dwell within various densities, in some degree sensitive or insensitive to the original vibration of unity or love which created the universe. After all of these densities were formed in the creation, the desire began to be generated to do the inevitable, make a full circle back to the original unity. Jacob's ladder, with every rung going higher, is a good analogy to this. Man has inborn the inevitable desire to seek for the top of his ladder of experience. All over our infinite creation, entities have progressed, at various rates, on this climb back to the original condition. As entities reach a certain point in their development, they begin to again grasp the nature of the Creator as service to all. At this point these entities reach their hands down the ladder, to help their brothers who are climbing below. But the law of progression is sustained in perfect free will, so that only those who are reaching up for that help will receive it. Men have an inalienable right to progress, or even regress, at their individual speeds. There is an infinite amount of time available. The UFO source states that in the third density of vibration we have tools with which to make our experiences work for our progress, our physical or third density body, and a higher self, which can detach itself from the physical and experience the finer vibrations of existence which, 203, chapter 10, conclusion and to penetrate our physical world. Most of the total humanity which has ever been in the physical is at present to be found in the finer planes of existence. The inhabitants of these astral and devachanic regions incarnate into a physical body primarily for the experiences which the physical world can offer. Some within the astral realms incarnate chiefly to experience the pleasures of the flesh. The more spiritually evolved souls of the devachanic regions often desire incarnation into the physical to mature themselves through the catalyst of physical experience, which is much more immediate and keenly felt than experience on higher planes. Astral's objective is easy to understand. He just wants to get back in the game and live it up. To get at the reason that the devachanic entity wants to incarnate, let me just give an example in story form. Mr. Good has, in his previous life on Earth, done a great many nice things, but like all of us, he was in some ways still selfish. After his death, back on the higher planes, he was able to view his life just past as a whole, and in this perspective his mistakes were apparent. In the higher vibration to which he has come because his vibrations basically are a match with it, all of his companions have his desire for advancement. And thus it is possible to see with more discerning eyes what has occurred on the denser planes. The errors become obvious. Now Mr. Good has an ambition, he wants to correct his mistakes in order to advance his level of consciousness. But this is not easy to do by pure force of will. It must be done in the dense level at which one acts and then seems to receive reactions from the outside. On the devachanic level it is obvious that all effects are the result of one's own actions. Even as to the square of the distance away from the earth, so are the grades of my resurrections. According to the exaltation of man's soul, so shall he inhabit the places I have made. According to his own soul's growth and development, so shall he ascend in my kingdoms, outward away from the earth, grade unto grade adapted item. 7. The great virtue of the physical world is the amount of pain which it can generate in consciousness. It is due to the stimulus of this catalyst, pain, that we gradually learn how to avoid pain, in an ever-ascending sense. Primitive man learns not to put his hand in the fire, spiritually seeking man learns to combat his own pain by seeking to be of service to his fellow man. The pain of existence can be felt at the level of the physical body, within the mental or the emotional body, or solely within the spiritual body. Yet while we are, 204, chapter 10, conclusion within the physical this pain will have a far more urgent and pressing nature, and the decision to seek for its rightful surcease will have a far more pronounced effect upon our essential being. So Mr. Good chooses another earth life. Maybe this time he does a little better. He evaluates again. There is no limit to the number of tries a person can have. If necessary an entity could go through our earthbound experiences through eternity, may be made to the apparatus for distillation of pure water. The denser vibrations are closer to the Earth's surface, actually penetrating it, while the faster ones move at higher altitude. Entities continually make a circuit from a higher level back to the surface, then back again, upward, but hopefully to a higher vibration than before. This is a sort of percolating process producing finally a distillate of souls that are ready for a more refined distillery. This we have seen called the fourth density by UFO sources. OSP describes the type of distillation desired upon this density of existence as follows. Jehovah had so made man and angels that, whosoever had learned to abnegate self and to labor for the good of others, was already above grade 50, and his ascension should be perpetual thereafter, whilst they that were below grade 50, who had not put away self, should gravitate downward, toward the earth. 8 In our previous harvests, says OSP, only a small percentage made the grade. Luan said, Great Spirit, I have heard, I have seen. We gather the earth's harvest for thee, O Jehovah, but they are small. We gather the earth's harvests of dark spirits, O Jehovah, and they are 10 times larger. Behold, there is no balance between them. 9 And as oft as they are raised up in light, so are they again cast down in darkness, because of the great desire of the spirits of the dead to return back to the earth. These drudge return to mortals and fasten upon them as fittles or as familiars, and inspire them to evil. Go now to the earth, O my beloved, and find the division of the earth where most these drudge congregate, for I will uproot their stronghold, I will break them from their haunts, and they shall no longer carry my people down to destruction. 10:205, Chapter 10, Conclusion. In past harvest times, it has happened that entire isolated populations of our world would reach a satisfactory vibration, with souls choosing to incarnate here to be with like-minded people. These populations being isolated from the rest of the world. In these circumstances, the UFO nauts have been able to make actual physical contact from the next vibration. The UFO sources feel that this open contact is highly detrimental to any culture not spiritually ready for it, for several reasons. First, it is demoralizing to realize that there are places one can't go. More importantly, the physical illusion is most effective when it appears totally real and of unquestioned importance. People who are more or less ready to graduate from this classroom of Earth do not need to have the illusion sustained for them, they are ready for a broader perspective. For those who are still learning, this perspective would be detrimental. It would instill, to some degree, doubt in the importance of the training aids of our daily experience. Is told Puharich and Geller that they had landed 3,000 years ago. They apparently had found a culture sufficiently advanced in vibration to meet. Right now, there doesn't seem to be a culture or nation sufficiently advanced as a whole to make possible a general or mass landing of fourth density entities. It may be possible that a very small, isolated group might be able to accept such a direct contact. But it says, and now we must land again. They are anxious to aid us, now, and to land, because of where we are in our system of cycles. We are at the end of a harvesting period, so that the Earth itself is making her transition to the fourth density. This transition is inexorable and involves not just our planet but the solar system as a whole. I realize this is one of the harder parts of the UFO story to swallow. It is not easy to picture not just people, but every atom, molecule, particle and part of the solar system, in transition, so that the vibratory rate of all particles will increase one density level in vibrational rate. But the explanation of the cause of the natural catastrophes which a very large percentage of UFO contactees forecast rests on this basic premise of cyclical transition. For the planetary mayhem is said to be brought about due to the disharmony between the vibrations of our planet and the density into which it is transiting. The planetary vibration is said to be the result of the total sum of man's individual vibrations through history. When the majority of the people advance in vibratory rate at the normal rate, the transition to the higher vibration, when time comes for it to be made, is smooth and without incident. But in our case, the majority of our people have not made their 206, Chapter 10, Conclusion. Appropriate advances, and so there is conflict between our vibration as a planet and the vibration of the new volume of space into which we are passing. As the vibrations increase at the nuclear level and changes begin to occur, the resultant energy releases will result in thermal gradients sufficient to create great stresses in the Earth and therefore massive Earth changes. Through George Hunt Williamson, the source known as Brother Philip says, "Concern yourselves with the sheep of the flock, those that have strayed or wandered away, for they must have the message of hope and faith in order to endure those tragic days ahead." 11 Philip pictures the sheep to be those who have a sufficiently high vibration to make the transition into the next density, but have no intellectual knowledge of what is occurring. They see many sheep as sitting on the fence, poised between striving consciously to advance spiritually and striving instead for more physically oriented goals to the exclusion of spiritual ones. It is their hope that the sheep may be alerted as these earth changes begin, so that they may get off the fence, on the spiritual side. The disasters will frighten many, and the Confederation of Planets wishes to alleviate this fear, by putting the events into perspective with their spiritual significance. Certainly, when we do experience a disaster such as a tornado, hurricane, or flood, we see much pride and glory washed or blown away. Physical structures are torn to shreds, people's belongings and treasures lost. Yet from these experiences people overwhelmingly report their renewed thankfulness to the Creator for sparing them what they see, now to be far more important, their loved ones. The experience seems to focus in people a feeling of being newborn, thankful for real blessings, and humble in the face of the omnipotence of the Creator. The positively oriented group of UFOnauts are working to make available to people in just this frame of mind the information which gives the spiritual reason for the earth changes. The Bible gives us, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Taken in reference to the coming transition, the statement describes those of a sufficiently service-oriented attitude to be in harmony with Earth's new rate of vibration. In the same message, Brother Philip says, "The spirit of Antichrist is ever more powerful, and it is drawn closer and closer towards the Earth, where it shall have its final death throes." 207, Chapter 10, Conclusion. "But in those death throes it will take many down with it, and they will not find the kingdom to be inherited, but must repeat again that great cycle of time that is now culminating in the scene upon your earth world." 12 This is spoken of in the Bible as the Battle of Armageddon. The UFO sources see it as a battle of mind involving billions of entities both in the physical and in the finer densities of Earth's vibrations, with those billions knowing little or nothing of their part in the battle, or even that the battle is raging. Like most battles, only the generals know the overall objectives of the fight, and so in this battle the masters on both sides, the sides being good and evil, or unity and separation, are doing their best to harvest the greatest crop of consciousness. Their objectives are completely within what we call the mental planes, but objectives one within these planes are inevitably manifested into the physical. The increasing polarization of the good and evil forces within our planet's people is showing up now in, on the one hand, the great increase in people's desire to seek spiritually, on the other hand, the great increase in crime, war-mindedness, desire for individual power, corporate and personal greed and corruption, and the many other negative aspects of thought which are easily picked out of today's news. The significant fact, of course, is not that these are things occur, but that they are increasing. From Revelation, "And there shall be wars and rumors of wars, and nation shall rise against nation." What kind of thinking causes this situation, which most assuredly now is occurring? The contactees say, very simply, thought of self rather than service. The problems of Earth, from small to vast, can be traced back to this one choice. The result of individuals choosing to serve self is, ultimately, hatred, war, and crime. As we enter the cusp of this transition period, with the potential difference between the coming vibration of higher unity and the existing vibration of self-service or separation becoming greater and greater, the positive UFOnauts feel that the sheep have the greatest chance possible to use this Earth classroom effectively. People can make great progress in these last days. In addition to the positive UFOnauts in their craft who are here to aid us, there are many apples who are striving to aid Earth's vibration. They have to some degree remembered who they are and what their purpose here is, and they have entered many fields of endeavor to get the message of spiritual seeking spread. Some are in the various fields of communications. 208, Chapter 10, Conclusion. Through media, TV and motion picture production, some are popular musicians, writing songs about things of the spirit that are on everyone's lips. Some write in modern parable of the eternal truths. Some find expression in their careers of all kinds, touching people through their very personalities and points of view, their simple examples of how to live in harmony. Quite often, the apples are not fully aware of why they have written these songs or words, lived this life, or done these deeds. He or she is simply following an inner direction which is trusted intuitively. I don't mean that one must be an apple to live or act in the described manner, but a great many who so live and act are apples. And all who are led to positive acts are benefiting not only themselves but the earth vibration as a whole. A footnote to the discussion about apples is the fascinating fact that the Beatles recording company was called Apple Records. I have often wondered whether the Beatles were aware of George Hunt Williamson's book. It is an unshakable tenet of the UFO sources that though they can aid their brothers of Earth in spiritual seeking, the first step, of choosing to seek, must be made under conditions of complete free will by the individual. Hence is formed the concept of providing an example of higher truth, which alerts the seeking consciousness without giving him any proof as such. To prove a miracle or higher being to be real is to force the choice of seeking on people. But this choice must remain to be accepted or rejected without prejudice. This is the mechanical structure of spiritual evolution. In 1963, a contactee in Warren, Pennsylvania, received. There was a great being who descended into the earth and parted the sea in testimony for the Israelites, but they did not understand. These miracles were not understood, and this shall not happen again. The miracles we get now will continue to be of a controversial nature so that people who wish to refute them may do so. Those who have the eyes to see, let them see. Is was at first very hesitant about giving Pugh Harrich permission to have Geller's abilities scientifically tested. After you insisted that Uri be validated, counsel was taken higher and higher, and it was decided that Uri could be validated just this once. And he may never be allowed to do such work again under laboratory control. 13, 209, Chapter 10, Conclusion. It would be in keeping with the contactee theory that they might feel that something on the order of scientific proof might be too strong a catalyst for us, so that they would be infringing on our free will. They were correct to allow Geller to be tested, for as they must have finally surmised, people who do not want to trust this proof simply state that they don't believe that anything has been proven. The desired controversy over Geller has only been enhanced by these scientific tests. I do not foresee a parting of the sea occurring in the near future, but I do predict that our UFOnaut visitors will continue to feed man on Earth tantalizing bits of evidence of the illusory nature of his world picture. Each of us will find the truth, in our own way. The amazing James Randi, a professional magician, is quite convinced that Uri Geller is no more than a conjurer, and that his supposed feats of psychic ability are actually well-done illusions. Randi's complaints about Geller include the point of Geller's inability or unwillingness to work when there are professional magicians around. Randi states that if he were trying to do illusions, he also would wish for no colleagues to be around, that is, if he wanted to fraudulently indicate to the public that his effects were not tricks but a demonstration of psychic ability. He makes a good case on his own terms. The game has been rather expanded out from under him, of course, by the arrival on the scene, and the testing, of many children throughout the world who have the Geller-type abilities. But the book by Randi brings out one of the main strands of thought that weave into my theory. For this controversy between Geller and his many detractors points up one thing above all: this physical world is very real to us. And it is for a purpose that this world is so real, so solid appearing to us. All of us have incarnated into the physical to experience its catalytic effect upon our higher self. It is necessary for this illusion to be real, if we are to benefit from its manifestations. Our ultimate objective while we are in this physical illusion is to work our way out of it, mentally and emotionally. The clues which show the direction this effort should take are subtle, but numerous. It is necessary to set out to discover the true reality by an act of will. It is necessary to decide to seek the truth. The biblical injunction, "Seek and ye shall find," is the heart of this concept. The truth is all about us, yet we are not forced to behold it. Only when we freely will to seek the truth, shall we find it. 210, Chapter 10, Conclusion. So, the clues which help to start us seeking the truth can never be provable, blatant, and leaving no room for doubt. All the clues are open questions. The UFO phenomena as well as the Geller abilities will retain that quality of elusiveness, of unprovability, until such time as all of us already have begun seeking. When Randy said, "I cannot choose to believe something because I want to," he had an important truth by the tail, though I think he was holding it the wrong way. It is when we want to know the truth that the truth begins to come to us. Some people see UFOs, and some don't. There is a reason for this discrimination. A person who is at the proper stage of mental evolution can tolerate the stimulus to seeking which is affected by the sighting. Likewise, in other paranormal events, whether the event happens or not is highly dependent on the state of mind of the observers. When an attitude of seeking along the so-called spiritual path is manifested, the event is also manifested. One real skeptic in the group can nullify results. Randy says he is good at exposing Geller because he is a magician. I say that I am good at verifying Geller's abilities because I understand the limitations of the phenomena. For the first time in recent history, we have increasing numbers of people performing what seem to be small miracles. This is happening now as a way of gradually breaking the illusion for those of Earth's people who are ready for a new understanding. People who are unwilling to take these clues, like Randy, will be perfectly able to ignore them. Total free will is part of the plan. One more observation about miracles. The bent metal and the UFO sighting seem like miracles to us. We are so jaded. A flower blooms, a baby is born, and we think that's no miracle. If we are going to understand the true nature of our environment, it will be necessary to turn off the intellect and become, as a little child, aware of the creation. It makes no difference whether Geller is really performing miracles. His function is to stimulate thinking, not to prove anything. There is no way of proving miracles, for the plan itself provides for rejection of any concept, and therefore for lack of provability. We are surrounded by not just a few miracles done by Geller and others, not just a history of miracles done by masters such as Jesus, but by the infinite panoply of the natural magic of our world. How did this world of beauty and marvelous efficiency we know as nature come to be? Is it not also miraculous? Yet this beauty also can be accepted or rejected, depending on our philosophical attitude. The whole universe speaks to us. But we do not have to listen. 211, End Note Listings. Chapter 1. A Very Strange Phenomenon. Weldon, John, UFOs, What on Earth is Happening, Irvin, Carr, Harvest House, Copyright 1975, p. 8. 2. Fuller, John, ed., Aliens in the Skies, New York, Putnam, 1969, p. 91. 3. Jacobs, David Michael. The UFO Controversy in America, Bloomington, Indiana University Press, 1975, p. 86. 4. Ibid, p. 82. 1. Chapter 2. The Telepathic Contact. 1. Pew Harridge, Andrea, Uri, A Journal of the Mystery of Uri Geller, Garden City, Doubleday, 1974, p. 165. 2. Ibid, pages 174-5. 3. Norman, Eric, Gods and Devils from Outer Space, New York, Lancer, 1973, pages 161-2. Chapter 3. Reality, etc. 1. 2. 3. 4. New Brough, John Ballou, USP, Amherst Press, Amherst, Wisconsin 54406, 1882, p. 596. Whitrow, G. J., ed., Einstein, The Man and His Achievement, New York, Dover, copyright 1967, 1973, p. 71. Reciprocity, Frank Meyer, ed., 146 Ross Hall, University of Wisconsin, Superior, Wisconsin 54880. The Structure of the Physical Universe, and several other of Larson's works, are available from the publisher, North Pacific Publishers, p. 0. Box 13255, Portland, Oregon, 97213. For further information about the Larsonian physical theory, contact New Science Advocates, Ronald Satz, Secretary, 4010 North War Memorial No. 1008, Peoria, Ill. 61614. Butler, W. E., The Magician, His Training and His Work, London, Aquarian, 1963, p. 48. Holy Bible, John 1-9-13. 5. 6. 7. 212, Endnote Listings 8. Steger, Brad, The Aquarian Revelations, New York, Dell, 1970, p. 11. 9. Bruning, J. H., Letter to J. A. Hayek, published in Gray Barker's Newsletter, No. 4, February, 1976, pages 10-11. Chapter 4, The Nature of Man 1, Taylor, John, Superminds, New York, Viking, 1975, p. 11. 2. Muldoon, Sylvan, and Head Carrington, The Phenomena of Astral Projection, New York, Weiser, 1969. 3. Ostrander, Sheila, and Lynn Schroeder, Psychic Discoveries Behind the Iron Curtain, Englewood Cliffs, Prentice Hall, 1970, p. 197. 4. Watson, Lyell, The Romeo Era, Garden City, Anchor, 1974, p. 242. 5. Leadbeater, C. W., The Devachanic Plane, The Astral Plane, both published by Theosophical Publishing House. 6. Williamson, George Hunt, Other Tongues, Other Flesh, London, Spearman, 1953-1965, p. 363. 7. Twitchell, Paul, Ikankar, The Key to Secret Worlds, New York, Lancer, 1969, p. 10. 8. New Braw, Op. Sit, p. 782. 9. Sagan, Cal, The Cosmic Connection, New York, Dell, 1973, p. 17. 10. Randy, James, The Magic of Uri Geller, New York, Ballantine, 1975, p. 16. 11. Jung, Cal, Flying Saucers, A Modern Myth of Things Seen in the SKY, New York, Signet, 1969-1959. Chapter 5, A Solution to the Mystery of the UFO in Maniga, Robert, UFOs Past, Present and Future, New York, Ballantine, 1974, pages 59-61. 2. Rukert, Carla, ed., Voices of the Gods, Unpublished Manuscript, Louisville, 1974, pages 6-7. 3. Nada Yolanda, Visitors from Other Planets, Miami, Mark H., copyright 1974, p. 28. 4. Steger, Brad, Revelation, The Divine Fire, Englewood Cliffs, Prentice Hall, copyright 1973, p. 146. 1. 213, Endnote Listings 5. 6. 7. 8. 9. 10. 11. 12. 13. 14. 15. 16. 17. 18. 19. 20. 21. 22. 23. 24. 25. 26. 27. 28. 29. 30. 31. 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, Rukut, op, sit, p, 7, Nubra, op, sit, pp, 85 and 191, Ibid, p, 477, Ibid, p, 196, Ibid, pages 55 to 6, Nadayalanda, op.